Con Santo Espíritu en gloria dei Patris. In cuyos pasiones secundum Simeonis profecía en dulcísima anima en gloriosa vines de Matris María y Dolores, Gladius Petran Siri, Conchere Propicius, Uqui Dolores ellos venerando recolimus, pasiones tu efectum felice en consequamus. Qui vivis et regnis con Deo Patre in unitate Spiritus Sancti Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum.
Amen.
Oremus. Adesto Domine populo tuo, o beati Nicodemis, Nicodemedis, martiris tui merite preclaras ucipiens, ad impetranda misericordia tuam semper eius patrocinis adiuvetur. Per Dominum nostrum Iesum Christum filium tuum, qui tecum vivit et regnat in unitate Spiritus Sancti Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum.
Amen.
Lectio Judi. Benedixit Dominus in virtute sua, quia per te aniquilo redegit inimicos nostrus. Benedicta est tu filia Deo Domino excelso, pre omnibus mulieribus super terra. Benedictus Dominus qui creavi celum et terram, qui audi nomen tu unita magnificavi, un honore cena laus tua ideore hominum, qui memoris fueri in virtutes Domini in eternum, pro quibus non perpecisti anime tue proter angustias et tribulationem, generis tuis sensu venisti, ruine ante conspectum Dei nostri. Dolorosa la cria de aquel maestro.
Dolorosa et lacrima vilice. Virgo Maria, Abbat Mater Dolorosa, iux sacrucem lacrimosa, dum pendebat filius. Cuius animam gementem, contristatam et dolentem, pentram sibit laudium. O quam Christi se afflicta, fuit illa benedicta, mater unigeniti. Quae morebat et dolebat, ia mater dum videbat, nati penas incliti. Quis est homo, quis non peret, matrem Christi si videre, in tanto supplicio. Qui non posset contristati, Christi matrem contemplari, dolentem confilio. Pro peccati subegentis, vidit Iesum in tormentis, et flagellis subitum. Vidi suum duce natum, moriendo desolatum, dum emisit spiritum. Eia mater pons amoris, me sentire vindolornis, facut tecum lugeiam. Facut ardeat cor meum, in amando Christum Deum, suum sibi complaceat. Sancta Mater Christus agas, crucifixi fige flagas, cordi meo valide. Tu vinati vulnerati, tam dignati pro me patni, penas mecum vivire. Pac me tecum pie plere, crucifixo condolere, donec ergo vixero. Iuxta crucem tecum stare, et me tibi sociare, implantu desidero. Virgo virginum, et placara, mice janon sis amara, fac me tecum placere. Facut fortem Christi mortem, passionis fac consortem, et plagas recolere. Fac me plagiis vulnerari, fac me cruce inebriari, et curore filii. Flamis ne urar suscensus, per te virgos indefensus, in die judicii. Christe cum sit, sic exire, da per matrem me vinere, ad palmam victorie, quando corpus moretur. Facut animei donetur, paradisi gloria, amen. Alleluia.
Dominus vobiscum,
et cum spiritu tuo.
Sequentia Sancti Evangelii secundum Giovanni.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
In illo tempore stavam justa crucem Jesu mater eius et sorum matris eius Maria Cleofe Maria Magdalene. Cum vidisse ergo Jesus matrem et discipulos tantem quam diligeva dici matris suae, mulier ecce filius tuum. deinde dici discipulo ecce mater tua. Ed ex illa ora accepede un discipulo in su.
So today's the feast of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The reading of is taken from the book of Judith. You can take a seat. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, who by thee hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever, for that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulations of the people, but hath prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel, taken from St. John. At that time, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciples standing, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Women, behold thy son." After that, he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her took her to his arm. The words of the most holy gospel, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, dear brothers, dear sisters, we are here in the great feast of the patron of the common just being born. She is the patroness, Our Lady of Solitude, in her sorrows. And so we have the great joy to have this habit, reception of the habit. Tenemos en la recepción del hábito de una de las hermanas para el convento que acaba de nacer. So this is a great blessing, and our Lord and our Lady are very mindful of our needs, our difficulties, our weaknesses, and they more than ever are those who are interested that we are going to be doing well. So when we have a ceremony, always we think of the sister who is going to receive the habit as a great blessing, which it is, but we forget the great joy which represents for Our Lady and for our Lord. So heaven is in great joy for this event. In fact, the focus is in the joy which represents for the Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord, more than for sister who is going to receive the habit, even if it's a great blessing, tremendous blessing, so much that it's even tender indulgence today for our dear sister. And so what we want to speak is about the seven sorrows precisely, because the Blessed Virgin Mary today is venerated, is consoled, is accompanied by us in this great ceremony. So as to understand how much the seven sorrows must be in our lives as a religious. Our seven days of the week, seven sorrows means seven is a number of which it represents infinite, something without end, something that has no limits, So seven sorrows represent the immensity of the sufferings of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Precisely because the immensity of the sorrows, we are obliged to repair and to console her and to reflect and to apply us to this great undertaking, as for us, to do it, of healing and consoling and repairing and the solitude of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her sorrows. So let's go for each one of the sorrows to draw a teaching in order for us, especially for sister, to that she will be mindful of the seven sorrows of Mary as the most important focus in the life of the convent, as to be healers of Mary's sufferings and solitude. So the first sorrow, we contemplate the prophecy of Simeon, the prophet. We can contemplate here that the news of the bloody sacrifice of her son, just being born, was a tremendous suffering for her. So she had been looking at his beloved child Jesus, so beautiful and tender and being God and man at the same time, her child, everything for her, just being confirmed and reminded to her that the sacrifice, he will have to be sacrificed for us, for our salvation. And that will represent us seven sorrows in her heart. So from this sorrow, we must beseech the Blessed Mother, our Lord, that we may be associated with this news that our Lord is being crucified, being sacrificed in a daily basis in our altars of the Mass. So that the day of our judgment, we might not hear the anger voice of Jesus, but on the contrary, after being endeavored to participate in this in this sorrows of Mary, in this sorrow of Mary, we may be able to hear the sweet voice of our Lord being favorable to us in that judgment, that we may be spared in punishment after this life, after being spending our life in consolation of Mary in her sorrows. In the second sorrow, we have the flight to Egypt, into Egypt. So we can consider that Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, in order to protect the child Jesus, who was in danger of being put to death by the envy of Herod, with a great anguish for this persecution against our Lord, she was contemplating the sufferings of the child Jesus physically, because that journey to Egypt was few weeks long in that tender age, without having nothing to where to let his head, the poor child Jesus, you know, having shelter in that trip, suffering persecution already. So we must ask through this sorrow, through our life, religious life, conformity, resignation in our afflictions, in our journey, especially that we are now in an unknown and foreign land, like Egypt, so that we may embrace the cross that represents this in our journey to heaven, but surrounded by enemies, surrounded by danger, surrounded by threats and devils and apostasy. So this is what we have to draw out of this sorrow of Mary. Through this sorrow of Mary in the flight to Egypt, and we may have this resignation, conformity, and embracing the cross. So in the third, when we contemplate the the child Jesus the being lost in the temple for 3 days, that she had to endure this being, having the God being lost, his her own child being lost for 3 days. Exactly what happened in the when our Lord died on the cross. He was absent for 3 days. It's very close to the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. She had great sorrow for this loss, this solitude of Mary already, and that fifth mystery of the joyful mysteries. In this sorrow, we must constantly ask the grace that we may not lose for an instant the grace, the friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may not be unfaithful by sinning, by willful sins, willful unfaithfulness to the rule, holy rule of the Benedict. We must have that grace constantly. Whenever we pray this sorrow for Mister, this sorrow of Mary, that we may not offend our Lord anymore. We may not lose him. The more we grow in the love of God, the more we will appreciate it. The greater will be the pain each time that we lose his friendship, the sorrow should be deep each time that we offend him by whatever sin, whatever venial sin or mortal sin. The sorrow must grow in proportion to the love of God. So we must ask that grace not to lose never again our Lord, his grace. The fourth sorrow we have to be contemplating in our life, in this convent, in the monastery. According to the Spanish tradition, the fourth sorrow of Mary was the scourging of the pillar. So this is an old centuries, many centuries tradition. Scourging of the pillar. So Our Lady saw her child Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, naked in front of his enemies. The purity itself, the holiness itself, God himself, naked in front of his enemies, suffering slashes, we know that were more than 4,000, upon his divine body, to expiate so many sins of the flesh, so many sins of abusing the goods that we have, in our body, in our soul. So this is a tremendous sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary, tremendous. That was not an inch of the blessed flesh, pure flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ was not touched by these bloody lashes, scourging on the pillar, at the pillar. In this sorrow we must constantly ask the grace of repentance, penance, perfect contrition, purity, expiation of the sins of the flesh for of us and of the others. This is what we have to draw out of this mystery when we contemplate together with Mary at her side. So in the fifth sorrow of Mary, she contemplates the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must meditate through our life, religious life. The blows penetrated of the nails of our Lord when they were hammered on the hands, on the feet, they penetrated her immaculate heart. And rivers of blood run through the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ and also of Mary. In sorrows, rivers of sorrows of Mary, who had never stopped until now. Deprived our Lord from human beauty, human respect, from any compassion. He was deprived completely, our Lord, that moment. Also Our Lady, she was deprived from any compassion, from any consolation. Our Lord, who was God and all for Mary, everything was for her and was treated like that, our Lord himself. So in this sorrow we must constantly ask in our life, at a convent, in the monastery, the grace to be crucified to the world, and that the world, also that the world may be crucified to us. Both. Each time that we contemplate the Red Cross and our Lord crucified, and Mary at the side of at the foot of the cross, remember that we are crucified and crucified to the world and to the vanities of this world. And the world is crucified to us. We don't want nothing to do with the world anymore. So in the sixth sorrow, we contemplate, we have to be contemplating the whole life, the pierce of the lance through the side of our Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time after that, how the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is laid upon the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We can also contemplate when we see this sorrow, how the enemies continue defiling the body, sacred body, divine body of our Lord Jesus Christ, even when he was already dead. Well, it's happening. The enemies wants to get rid of whatever track, whatever remains of our Lord Jesus Christ doctrine and divinity on earth. His creation, even. Everything has been trampled upon, under the foot. So this is the transfiguration of the Blessed Virgin Mary too. She gave to us the child Jesus, beautiful, tender, pure, divine. And we give back to her our Lord crucified by our sins. It's one of the greatest horrible meditations which should make us cry constantly. She gave us the child Jesus, beautiful, tender, innocent, divine, what she gives to us at the Holy Communion. And we, ungrateful, we give her back the child Jesus, but death. All this in the body destroyed by us, our sins. Pierce his heart by our infidelities. No spot being spared in our Lord's body by our sins and the sins of the others. This is why our life as a religious should be this contemplating, repairing, crying, yes, for our sins and the sins of the world, because the transfiguration of the Blessed Virgin Mary is very deep. It's a sea without measure of bitterness. So in this sorrow we must ask constantly in our life, religious life, the knowledge and the love for the cross. Yes. Our Lady was embracing our Lord with the cross, with the, what represented the cross, and also us. Embrace our Lord, which is also his mystical body, is the relief of life. You are going to embrace, dear sisters and brothers, you are going to embrace your whole life of sacrifice, our Lord, which is your neighbor, our neighbor. Embrace them. We are wounded by sin, which our Lord has died for them on the cross. You are going to embrace them in the shape that they have now, which is wounded and destroyed by sin, so that Mary will embrace them through you, being healed. This is why this life is to pursue the impossible, humanly speaking. Because it's the work of Mary to heal those wounds. We are going to meditate on the steps of Mary, the fourth step of Mary's sorrows. How she herself clean and heal each wound of the body, of the body of our Jesus Christ after he descended from the cross. She is the one who was wiping, healing and cleaning the wounds, each one of them. And she never forgot about that. Was always lively, present in her mind, this event. And should be present in our life, dear sisters, this event. That we should be healing our neighbor through the blood and wounds of our Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary. By our prayers and sacrifices. And lastly, the seventh sorrow is the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was tremendously bitter for our Lady because she saw the contrast between God coming to deposit, the Holy Ghost came to the incarnation to deposit in Mary's womb, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now she's depositing our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in her womb by the Holy Ghost, conceived by the Holy Ghost. She's depositing it, but in the womb of the earth, under the earth. What a humiliation. Life itself, God Himself, being buried by Our Lady herself because of our sins. That is enough to be crying and sorrowful the rest of our life. So we have been daring to bury life itself by our sins. This is exactly the meaning of this last sorrow. We have been daring to bury life itself by our sins. We don't want to do, instead of we commit a mortal sin, we don't want nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. We get rid of Him. This is the great sorrow of Mary and us, should be ours also. And this memory accompanied her during her whole life, even to now. So let's ask the grace, this last sorrow and forever, in our life in the convent, in the monastery, to be worthy to accompany Mary in her sorrows, in her solitude. To be worthy. So as to never forget her sorrows and Jesus' wounds. And the fruit of this sorrow should be to deny our own will in order to pursue constantly the service and the reparation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So this is the program for you, dear sister, that you are receiving today, the habit, and for the sisters of this convent. This is the program that we are recording it, because this is the seven sorrows where I want to pray as often as we can. And the aim is to pray also the seven sorrows every day, for the monks and for the nuns. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Credo in unum Deum,
Patrem omnipotente, Factor in Celestia, Divisio in Cristo,
Spirito Santo, Antio, Via Secula, Antio, Via 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 Incarnato sei Spirito Santo in
Maria.
Ci fisso sempre un nuovo sponso Pilato Paz e Porto Sens. E risponso terzedio secondo scrittura. E la cena del cielo sia ad extram patis. E il terzo ventruo se scum l'aglio di caio se morto scorre in nome Spirito Santo Domino Inficante qui es Patria e Filio e Cucine. E con Patria e Filio simula adorato e con glorificato e quello così per profetas. Non santa, in cattolica, in apostolica, in ecclesia, confito in battismo e remissione in peccator, rispetto alla resurrezione mortor, in vita, vento di secolo. Amen.
Et propter nostram salute, descendit de cenis, et incarnatus est de Spiritus Sancto, ex Maria Virgine, et homo pactus est, crucifixus et signam pro nobis, sub Pontio Pilato, passus et sepultus et resurrexit tertia die, secundum scripturas, et ascendit in cielo, sedet ad exterram patris, et iterum venture sum gloria, judicare vivos et
et Spiritum Sanctum Dominum. Et vivificante, qui ex Patre Filio que procedi, qui cum Patre et Filio simul adoratur, et cum glorificatur, qui locutus est per profetas, et unam sanctam catholicam, et apostolicam ecclesiam, confiteor unum baptisma, in remissionem peccatorum, et expecto resurrectionem mortuorum, et vitam venturis seculi. Amen.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Oremus. Recordare Virgo Mater Dei,
Reverendissimo Pater, adesque in monasterium Vercipi, rogat et abitum sancte religionis postulat.
Quid petis?
Dei misericordiam et bestium confraternitatem.
Veni Creator Spiritus.
So, dear sister, you seek great things. You wish to imitate Christ in your life and conduct. For the monastic life is essentially the reliving of Christ's suffering and dying. You seek great things, indeed, since it is your wish to be taken into our order and constantly to live under the rule of our Holy Father Saint Benedict. And the first duty of the nun is to fulfill those sweet words of our Savior, which to the world are forbidden. He who wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You all therefore be prepared to lay down all for God, for the disciples of Saint Benedict, according to the precept of the rule, are allowed to have neither their bodies nor their wills in their own power. You must see to it that your personal desires and all vicious inclinations and passions which rebel against the spirit be broken and controlled. You must renounce all the pomps of the world, worldly pleasures, and the flattering allurements of the flesh. You must give up all pride and haughtiness and embrace all that is humble. You must bear reproaches without contradiction.
and conquer temptations with a sureness of victory. You must tolerate troubles of mind and body with a tranquil spirit, and obey in all things without murmuring. And none who will be a true follower of Saint Benedict must be satisfied with even the worst in food and clothes. He must bear up under want of necessities, of necessary things. She should fast often and observe perpetual chastity. She should make constant use of mental and vocal prayer and sacred reading. She should train herself in the observance of quiet and silence. She should live a life free from worldly associations. She should keep nothing as her own property, not even the smallest things. She should be indefatigable in her zeal for assisting daily at Holy Mass and the daily at the Divine Office. Be this in the unpleasant heat of summer or the disagreeable cold of winter. Finally, she should faithfully adhere to all that becomes the religious state, and prudently and generously reject all that is contrary to it. I confess that these things are hard and difficult, but to her who distrusts herself and trusts in the Lord, who strengthens the weak and raises up those who fall, to her who will the rough ways be made smooth, the bitter things turn into sweet, and the hard things become light. Now, therefore, if you still choose to bear the sweet yoke and the light burden of Christ, if you still decide to observe the rule of our Holy Father Saint Benedict and the salutary regulations of our congregation, and lead the monastic life with all earnestness, and if you still intend sincerely to seek God in the religious state, then the door of the religious life is open to you. But if, on the other hand, you do not wish to do so, you are still free to leave. My dear daughter, despising the world and its fallacies and vanities, do you still decide to embrace the rule of our Holy Father Saint Benedict?
Reverendissime Pater, desidero constantissime, fac salicito id ipsum quam humilime.
Deo gratias. Nona Dei, beni creatus spiritus.
Beni creator spiritum, mentes tuorum visita, simple superna gratia. Quae tu creias in effectora, qui paratitus disceri, Domum Dei altissimi, contribus ignis caritas, et spiritualis auxilium. Tu septi formis munere, dextere Dei tu digitus, turite promissum patris, sermones ditans gutura. Ascende lumen sensibus, infunde morem cordibus, infirma nostri corporis, virtute firmans perpeti. Postem repelas longius, pacem quae dones protinus, ductores icte previo, vitemus omne noxio. Per te siamus la patres, gnoscamus atque filium, teque utriusque spiritum, credamus omni tempora. Gloria Patri Domino, natoque quia mortuvis, surrexit ac Paraclito in seculorum secula. Amen.
Emite Spiritum tu ne creabuntur, oremus, ure igne sante, Spiritus Sancti, renes nostrum et cor nostrum. Domine ut tibi casto corpore serviamus, et mundo corde placeamus. Mentes nostras questum Domine Paraclitus qui a te procede illumine, et inducat in omnem sicutus promise filius veritatem, per eundem Christum Dominum nostrum.
Now it's the tonsure, the cotton of the hair, appears the blessing in the prayer. Oremus. Questum omnipotens Deus concede I famula tua qui pro amore Christi fili tui comam capitis tui depositus Spiritum Sanctum, qui habitum religione senila perpetua custodia et amundi impedimento ad omni seculari desiderio corda eorum defenda dextra tua ili tribal incrementum et accessitate humana oculus eius aperia de lumen eterni gloria conceda per eundem Christum Dominum nostrum.